Yeah, I would like to continue to study the topic, the volunteer work and the servitude. Item number two, come and follow me. There are three parts. The first one is to be motivated. The second one is to be transformed. To be transformed is talking about our attitude. Whether our service can be remembered by God or not, absolutely to do something with motivation and attitude. Sometimes we have a good motivation, but we lack a correct attitude. Sometimes a person have a good attitude, but lack of motivation. So you look into a church, maybe a lot of members, they look very nice, they behave very humbly, but they have no desire to participate in God's work. So they have good attitude, but they are not motivated. But sometimes you see a person is highly motivated, they really want to do something for the Lord. But when you look into a person, start to engage in certain type of holy work, it seems the person become part of the problem, not part of the solution. So I don't know whether you have been serving in the church, you are part of the solution or you are part of the problem. Right? Well, the reason we want to serve, because we want to help the church to resolve certain kind of a problem. But if we serve God in the church and we cause some extra problem, then God has to use extra resources to resolve the problem we created. So right attitude is very important, but to have a correct attitude, sometimes it takes a long time to be transformed. Number one, we discussed that the fundamental attitude is we are a vessel. It is God who uses us to serve Him. So He is in control of us, and He is our master. So we have to respect God's authority over us. So whatever we do in the name of Jesus Christ. How come we do in the name of Jesus Christ? Because He is the Lord. So this is the first attitude we have to transform. And do not be conformed by the world. And be transformed by renewal of our spirit. If we are a vessel of God, then we become very flexible. Whatever it is the will of God, I just can change myself. Because I'm a servant. And He is a master. So I'm not going to insist my own way because I'm a servant and He is a master. So once we become a vessel, then we become very flexible. And once we become very flexible, then you're going to see it's not difficult to work as a team because we are very flexible. And once we become a vessel and we become very flexible our own direction. Just like the book of Acts talk about how the gospel was preached to the Philippines. Originally, Paul's intention was not go to Philippines. He has other plan. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid them going there. And they changed to another location. And then God did not allow them to go. And then they tried to change to the third destination. And in the evening, there was a dream, the calling of Macedonian. And God knew, Paul knew that it was God who wanted him to preach gospel there. So he make adjustment of his schedule and follow God's calling and cross the border into Europe and establish a church, the Church of Philippines. He did not insist his own way because he considered himself a vessel, very flexible. as long as the master want me to do, as long as it is the direction of the master, I'm waiting to follow because I'm only a vessel. I've been used by him. And this is not easy, really. This is takes long time to discipline ourselves. Yeah. The point two, we need to be transformed so that we can be compassionate to others. Let us look into the book of Mark chapter 6. The book of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 31. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. So Jesus and his disciple wanted to retreat to a deserted place. Deserted place, which means not so many people there, so that they can rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have a time to eat. So many people are surrounding them. So they have to spend extra time to teach them to resolve their problem. So they are almost exhausted. They need certain type of rest to refresh themselves so they can walk more. However, what happened? Verse 32. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Verse 33. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran their own foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them and come together to him. You see, he was very hungry, he was exhausted, but the multitude still followed him. Then, 34. And Jesus, when he came out of the boat and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them. Jesus saw a great multitude. You see, we all have the same eyes, right? Maybe you put on your glass, your four, right? But we look into a person, a matter, every people's feeling is different. How come we have same eyesight and we look into a person and the feeling is different? I think that's to do something with our mentality. For example, when Jesus went into sinner's house, right? And there are so many people there. And the Pharisees and scribes, they are well-versed about the Bible. And they start to accuse Jesus. If you are a righteous person, how come you mingle together with a sinner? Yeah, they have two eyes. And they look into the sinner. They look into their weakness, and they don't like it. Not only they don't like it, they don't like Jesus, they did not like Jesus to mingle with them. But Jesus said, what? Only the sick person needs physician. This is a very profound meaning. So many people there, and Jesus said, only the sick person needs physician. Who is the sick person? Is the one who consider themselves have sinned. So they need a physician. And who is the physician? It is Jesus himself needs a physician. And for the Pharisees, they consider they have no sin. So they don't need Jesus Christ. So Jesus look at a sinner. Jesus has compassion to them. Since Jesus has compassion to them, so Jesus feel that they are like a sick person. They need help. If they don't receive help, they are going to die. Not only physically, they are going to die spiritually. So out of this compassion, Jesus went to mingle with them. Do you know, to mingle with a homeless person is not a joking. Really, there was one church in the United States, some of you start to engage in so-called homeless ministry. the first few weeks, they invite the homeless. All the church members just what? Tell the brother, well, ask them to take bus. Without paying bus, don't come into the chapel. Right? This brother was able to use his own car to bring the homeless people to the church. Regardless what is the outcome? I think one of the important point is you need to have a compassion heart. Otherwise, you just cannot lower down yourself and to get along with a group of people in order to save it. It's impossible. No. So right now, you are volunteer to go to Africa. When you go to Africa, besides the spiritual level, I think almost every aspect is cannot compare with Western world. What the reason I say is besides the spiritual level, because some of the brothers and sisters are well versed, very well versed about the Bible, and they are very loving brothers and sisters, love God very much, and they have strong faith, so they pray a lot of miracles and happen too. So besides this, you look from the living standard, it's incomparable. From the educational level, it's incomparable. From cultural point of view, it's incomparable. From every point of view, it's incomparable. So, 19th century, they were a colony, and other people treat them as a third-class people. But when we go there, it's very, very important to have compassion to them. If we have compassion to them, we look at them, we will sympathize them. And once we sympathize them, then your work become come out of your heart of loving. It's more what you can bear that kind of difficult situation easier. If we don't have that kind of compassionate heart, it's very difficult. Very difficult to get along with them. Because you're going to see from our standard, it seems we are very disappointed. Also, compassionate, and this kind of attitude is quite important. Once we have compassion heart, we have a heart of love. You look at them, sometimes you look at them, there will be a joy. If you, this time you go there, okay, you teach them. And next time you come back, you look at them and you feel that they are changing. Their life has been transformed. Their spirituality has been elevated to a certain level. And you feel certain kind of joy. Because our loving service produce certain type of result. If we have love to them, even if you stay one week or 2 weeks, the time you are going to leave, in your heart, you still miss them. You miss them not because you want to live longer, but because there's a feeling, seems there's a connection between you and them. And that connection actually coming from the love of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there is no way you can connect yourself with them. So once we have that kind of compassion to them, even after you go back home, sometimes you will miss them. You will miss the people in Africa. How is they doing? How's their condition? Just like when you leave your home for a period of time, you will miss your children, you will miss your parents, because you have love. If we have love, you will miss a brother and sister in Africa. So compassionate heart will make a tremendous difference. Do you know, if we walk a heart of love, and God is love, we walk with a heart of love means God is inside us. If we walk without love, and God is love, means we walk without God walking with us. So it's possible we go there, we walk very hard without love. It's possible. It's just like a human's work. Because God is love. Without love means our humans work. If God is with us, then we must feel with the love of God. Then we walk with love. When we walk with love, then that kind of work becomes different. So in the church ministry, quite often you are going to see different type of servitude. Some brother and sister, you ask them to give a ride to the true seeker. Well, they maybe go to give a ride to the true seeker, but in their partner of their heart, they are so unwillingly. Well, I have to get up early. I have to try extra 30 minutes. Right? But they still fulfill the work. But you see, this type of work, usually very difficult to produce certain type of result. Because you work without love, means without God is working with us. It's very difficult. But you look into other point, there are some brothers and sisters, they really have a compassion heart. When they try to bring the true seeker, they really love them. From the eye, you look into, the brother look into the true seeker, along the way you talk to them, you can see they really care, they really concern. And because they walk with care and concern, very easy to have a good result. Because God is love. When our heart filled with love of God, God is in our heart. God is working with us. So our missionary work, our volunteer work, even though you're going to go to a third world, your life will be different. But be compassionate. And this is the key to have the abundance of God, to have God working with us. But without compassion, it's very easy that we will despise them. Because there's no comparison with us. So this is the heart. We need to be transformed by the love of God, to be compassionate to others, just like Jesus Christ. Even though he was crucified on the cross, he himself suffered so much, but he looked down to those who crucified him. He still sympathized them. God forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So how great the love of Jesus Christ is. He suffered so much to a point in the crucifixion. He still had compassion to those who crucified him. So sometimes I think it's good to be a parent. Some people maybe say, you have no kids, you're trouble-free to serve God. But to have more kids, you learn to be compassionate. The way we deal with our own children, you can learn a lot. When we look at other people's kids, if they behave not very good, from our personal experience, you know, we should be compassionate. We should be patient. The one who can teach boldly is the one who has no kids. If we have kids, we have this kind of experience, will help us to be compassionate, to be very patient. So the same thing. We walk in the church. Sometimes and it's very difficult, but we really need to have the love of God in us. Point three. To be transformed means to be faithful to God. In other words, maybe the terminology is not very right. Place our faith to God. The way of servitude is a way of faith. In other words, if we have no faith, it's impossible for us to serve God. Because we have to walk together with God. If we have no faith, it's very difficult. Matthew chapter 4 talk about when Jesus chose the disciple. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishermen." Verse 20. And they immediately left their net and followed him. You see the Peter, right? After Jesus called them, "Follow me," they immediately left their net and follow him. They forsake everything, follow Jesus. That is the means to make a living. Of course, a volunteer worker is not going to resign from your job, right, to follow him. But it requires a certain type of faith. For example, if you want to take extra days off from your work, maybe you will lose extra income. Maybe you will lose the time you spend together with your family. It's supposed to be a family time. It's supposed to be your vacation time. And maybe you have to spend your own money, pay your own expense, something like this. And then, if we have no faith, it's just impossible for us to do this. But if we know that we are doing something right, we are doing something which can really please God, and we believe that whatever can please God, God will definitely remember it. God will reward us. If we have that kind of faith, then we will consider the opportunity to give is the opportunity to receive. And this should come from faith. Also, when you go to Africa, quite often you can see that people, their hand is facing up. What? They want to receive something from you. Then we have to teach them. Your hand should be facing downwards. Means you have to give. But to them, to give is very difficult because I only have a little. Maybe 2 coins, like a widow. If I give, I have nothing. But to give means you have faith. You have faith to the teaching of God. Only when they have faith, that means they are growing up. I recall the first few missionary trips in 1979. The early worker went there. They really had compassion to them. So before they leave, they give the clothes, they give the belt, the underwear, everything. Right? But they consider this is the way to love them. But next time, when they come back, they are expecting you give more. Because last time you give us so much. Why not? You give me more. And then it's very difficult because you give this person something, and how about the other one? Why you neglect the other one? So it just cannot give it very evenly. And the first few trips they go to Nigeria in 1980s, even they take a bucket of water for you, they will ask for money. Because the young kids have to walk 2-3 kilometers to take it. Yes, you have water, but you have to pay for it. But thank God, the little your faith is gradually growing. So you are able to enjoy something without paying something. And that means the growth of faith. So it is the same thing. When we go there, we try to give. Not necessary material. You try to give your love, give the talent God give to you, to give some good servitude to them. To us, it is a sacrifice, but we need to have faith so we can continue this kind of servitude. Let's see, Luke chapter 4, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. Now when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch." Verse 5. And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your words, I will let down the net." Look into how did Jesus teach Simon to catch the fish. Right? Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Jesus was a son of carpenter. We did not know before 30 years old what did he do. A lot of people say he just followed the father to be a carpenter. All right? He was not a fisherman. And Peter was a very experienced fisherman. and a son of a carpenter tried to teach an experienced fisherman how to catch a fish. We just cannot understand. Right? We just cannot understand it. It's just like a layman try to teach the expert how to do the business. Right? So verse 5, Simon answered Jesus Christ, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. What does that mean? Our experience tell us it's not going to work. We spend all night. We spend all our strength. Never stays at your words right now. Your words as power. Your words as your blessing. Because of your words, we are going to do it again. And let down the net. And because of Jesus' words, it becomes different. They caught a lot of fish. So what does that mean? You do it by faith, it will be different. If it is God's will. Oh. Okay. Well, for example, offering the tithe, it is the same thing. We think you earn 10,000, you offer the tithe, you lose 1,000. Right? But if we do it by faith, you are going to experience sometimes God give you extra blessing, not necessarily materially. God give you joy, give your whole family, become very happy, harmonious family. So the rewards may be more than 1,000, but you need to have faith to do it. We need to be transformed, our servitude to the Lord. Follow the biblical teaching to do our work. Even though we are going to encounter a lot of difficulty, but we need to pray to God, give us more faith, to trust in Him. So the difficult time always is the best time to experience God's power. If you draw a diagram, when is the time your faith keep on crying up? Usually we will think about when all my worry, all my trouble is gone, then I'm going to be very spiritual. I'm going to be very fervent to serve the Lord. But if you look at a lot of brothers and sisters, when their life become very easy, they fulfill their dream, it seems that the faith keep on sliding. Because there's no stimulation, there's no incentive for them to pursue something. But once a person encounters certain kind of difficulties, if they have no other way to get out, there's only one way, which means to pray and rely on God. And because of more prayer, because of faith, trusting in God, you're going to see their faith keep on climbing up. The same thing now. When we engage in the missionary work or volunteer work, you are going to encounter some difficulties. But in the difficult time, you pray more, and you are going to see God's guidance, miraculous guidance. And it will even strengthen your faith. So you should never expect there is no difficult, especially in the third world. There is going to be a lot of difficult. We can do whatever we can do, right? But whatever we cannot do, you can only trust God and keep by faith to resolve it. I remember 1983, there was a brother who went to Nigeria with me. I think second week, he's sick. And he was unable to continue. So he took the flight back home earlier, and I was alone in there to stay another 3 or 4 weeks. That was the first time I went there, and that brother invited me. Hey, do you want to go? I say, we spend so much airfare come here. How can I leave only 2 weeks? All right. But at that time I carried the money. If the African people just bury me and they took away the money, how can I know? But it's a miracle. When I stay there, I feel very peaceful. A very peaceful heart. I know a lot of people pray for me, and I also pray extra hard. Because of faith, praising on God, so I have no worry. That was only the first experience. Many, many other experiences to tell us we need to have faith. Another trip, I went with Elder Xie. At that time, we landed in Port Harcourt. And because of miscommunication, the worker did not come to receive us. Then we had to hire a taxi. It takes about 3 hour drive to a place called Ikoide. And then the taxi driver say the sunset already is too dark. But we say we have nowhere to stay. He say, okay, I can take you there. But I don't know which village. We say, okay, just take us there. It's a miracle. When we reach to the middle way, and we see there is a grocery store. We just stop by there. And there was a brother of the full-time worker was there. When he looked at us, he remembered us because the previous year we were there. And that grocery store is about, I think by taxi, is about 30 minutes away from his home. So God arranged him in that grocery store, and God moved us to stop by there at grocery store, and we met that full-time worker's brother. So we are able to guide into that church. Otherwise, the driver did not know where, and we don't know where either. So faith, really, we need to have more faith when we walk in the third world. We don't know what is going to happen. You have to put your total trust in God, because any moment, anything could happen. 1986 or 87, we are walking in Liberia. This is a true story. We look into a policeman, fully armed, come to attend our evangelical service. What is going on? Fully armed, and I sit in the second row. That time was another worker preaching there. At the end, we are going to pray for Holy Spirit. I look into that policeman, praying so hard, I keep on perspiring, but I did not lay hand on him, because maybe he thought I'm going to rob his gun or something. But it happened. After everybody finished the prayer, and he did not finish, and he threw the gun and shoot himself. It's anything could happen. But it's a miracle. How can it be a miracle? The bullet penetrated his own chest and hit into the bench. That bench is about one inch thick. Yeah, hit into the bench. If it is 1 or 2 centimeters away, it's going to hit another sister sit behind. So that bullet just got into that bench. So everybody was safe. So everything could happen. But we have to pray God to give us faith to trust us to Him, so that even though we have difficulties, but all the difficulty eventually will prove is an opportunity to experience mighty power of God and wonderful guidance of God. So this is the third one. Number four. Number four is be humble. We have to be transformed to be humble. Recognize our own unworthiness. Just like Peter in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, talk about. Let's see, Luke chapter 5, verse 8. After they recognize Jesus Christ is the Lord, right? And Peter just bow down before Jesus, say, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinner." So Peter feel unworthy. He was a sinner. And Acts chapter 10 talk about when Peter went into Cornelius' house. Cornelius' house, right? Cornelius tried to bow down before Peter. And Peter said, no, 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 I'm a man too. Well, Peter recognized his own unworthiness and become very humble. Because once our work been accomplished, usually certain type of praise or glory is going to follow. And if we are humble, we know how to give glory to God. Even in the book of Acts, talk about Paul, right? Through the power of God, a miracle was performed. And even the group of people tried to bring the cattle and offer sacrifice to him. If you are poor, what are you going to do? Right? Maybe stand there, enjoy a moment of glory, right? And then say no. But Paul was so terrified. He torn his own clothes apart and jumped inside them. So don't do this. I'm only a man like you. So they are all very, very humble. So God was able to walk with them. You see, to serve God in a short moment, it seems difficult, but it's not too difficult. But to serve God in a long-term basis is not easy. So you look into Moses, he was able to serve from 80 to the last day of his death. It's not easy. You look into the apostle, they were able to serve the Lord beside Judah. To the time they died for Christ. It's not easy. It's not easy. And the most difficult part is once we have done something for God, something has been achieved, that kind of self-glory is going to spring out from the bottom of your heart. So to be humble, that's really needs to have rely on Holy Spirit. God give us a heart of humility. So rely on God, we have to always have a self-abasing. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. 31 to 34 talk about Jesus looked at Peter. It's different from Peter, look at Peter. What does that mean? We look at ourselves quite often. It's different from God look at us. If we look at ourselves, it's the same with God look at us. That means we are the person who had the mind of Jesus Christ, which means we are a spiritual person. If we are not spiritual yet, we look ourselves quite often is different from God look at us. So when Peter here, he looked at himself. He was so confident about himself. So he said, I am going to die together with you. Let Peter look at himself. He was so confident. He was so resolved. Resolved. But Jesus looked at Peter and said, you are so weak. You are going to deny me three times. So there's a discrepancy. And because Peter was so confident about himself, so you look later on when Peter prayed, what did he do? Just after Peter boasted, I'm even to die, I'm going to follow you, right? And 39, they go to the Mount of Olives and start to pray. And Jesus prayed and perspired, and Peter sleep. Peter sleep. Because once a person don't feel that we are so weak, once a person have so-called self-confidence, the prayer just cannot be too long, cannot be too strong, because I can do it. So humility, in another words, means recognize we are nothing, and so we will rely on God totally in prayer. So this is a very important transformation. We consider we ourselves as a nothing. We cannot achieve anything and rely on God's power to achieve something. So this is a transformation we need to have. Another way to express our humble humility is to glorify the name of the Lord. Just like Jesus Christ do whatever he did. He always did it for the glory of God. So it's very important. Everything on the button of God, we say we are nothing but a servant. Whatever we do is our duty. And give credit to God, not give credit to us. Number five. Be spiritual. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Okay. When Jesus Christ predict his death and resurrection. And what did Peter respond? Verse 22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. It sounds that Peter really loved his teacher, right? This will never happen to you, right? If you are a teacher, you told your student, something might happen to me, right? And your student tell you, no, this is not going to happen, right? Give you some words of comfort. What are you going to do? You appreciate a lot, right? But what Jesus responds, 23, get behind me, Satan, you are the offense of me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So your mindset is still in the human level. You did not elevate your mindset to the spiritual level yet. So human level has a human way to love others, but spiritual level has spiritual way to love others. If Jesus followed Peter's suggestion, he was not crucified, then he will not be able to achieve far more important love, which means love our soul. Salvation was not able to accomplish. So when we serve God, we have to think about, when I love others, if this is a spiritual way, if this is the love according to God's will, or this is a personal love. So we have to be transformed to have a mind of Jesus Christ to love others. So it means to be spiritual. And then, when Peter reached to the Acts chapter 10, let's see, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. You talk about Peter, right? When the person come, when he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit asked him to go, don't be doubtful. And then Peter followed them. So after Peter received the Holy Spirit, we know his mindset. He followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Even though whatever he wants to do is against the tradition of the Jews. But once he was very clear, this is come from Holy Spirit, even if it's against the tradition, he still to do it. So from the mindset of himself, transform into the guidance of Holy Spirit. It means spiritual. The second one, utilize the soul of spirit. John chapter 18 talk about
when somebody, the soldier is going to arrest Jesus, right? And Peter withdraw a sword and cut the ear of the servant of the high priest. So he was very bold. But that kind of boldness is not coming from a spiritual way. Oh. That boldness will cause confusion, even fighting each other. So Jesus Christ commanded Peter, you have to put your soul in, withdraw your soul. Oh. But in Acts chapter 2, you can see now, Peter used another soul, very spiritual way, very powerful way, the sword with the words of God, to cut into people's heart, to transform people's heart, to win over their soul. So when we do God's business, sometimes we will, if we are not spiritual, usually we will use our own way. But that way is not maybe not God's way. Use our method to resolve some kind of issue, but that may not be God's spiritual way to resolve the issue. And after we've been transformed, we are able to use a spiritual way to resolve the issue. There are many church examples of when we serve the God in the church, you're going to experience a lot. So if everybody utilize the spiritual way to resolve the problem, then even there is a great difficulty in the church, there will be no confusion. But if everybody ignore the movement of the Holy Spirit, neglect the spiritual way, use their own soul, withdraw their own soul, then you are going to see a bloody in the service to the Lord. A lot of people get hurt. So this is the transformation we need to have. First one, be a vessel. The second one, be compassionate. The third one, put faith to Jesus Christ. The fourth one, be humble. The fifth one, be spiritual.